Today's topic is the need for a true guru in one's life. It is only through Paramahansa Yogananda, many people in the world came to understand the significance of guru-disciple relationship. Common man has no concept of a true guru, a sadguru, and the need for a true guru in spiritual path, indeed, in life itself. We get a glimpse of the sweet relationship that exists between guru and disciple in Yogananda's autobiography of a yogi. Further, the YSS SR of lessons cover this topic comprehensively. In particular, lesson number 16, titled The Guru-Disciple Relationship, gives a very good explanation of this principle. Further, we are fortunate to know more about guru-disciple relationship and the importance of a guru from the close disciples of Paramahansaji, such as Dayamataji, Mrunalini Mataji, Anandamoyiji. This lovely small booklet by Mrunalini Mataji on the guru-disciple relationship and the series and DVD containing talks by them help us to deepen our understanding of guru-disciple relationship. In today's talk, I have drawn many points from Mrunalini Mataji's talk. Now, someone remarked, I follow Bhagavan Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. I have no need for any other spiritual guide. If we can understand Bhagavan Krishna and follow his teachings, that's wonderful. But how much we understand his teachings? We know Krishna mainly through stories, which change from place to place, time to time. Of course, each story has a moral, but how much of it is applicable, particularly to us in daily life? No one denies the value of Bhagavad Gita, but the deeper meaning is not always obvious. For instance, Kriya Yoga was referred twice in Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 4, sloka 29, and again in chapter 5, slokas 27 and 28, deal with Kriya Yoga. But by studying these two slokas, we will not be able to practice Kriya. So the problem is not with Bhagavad Gita. Problem is with our understanding, rather lack of understanding. It takes a saint to understand the true meaning of scriptures. And they can explain. Otherwise, the message contained in the scriptures is too concise and cryptic. Even Patanjali Yoga Sutras, which directly deal with yoga principles, do not explicitly explain the steps and procedures we have to follow. For instance, one Yoga Sutra says, Kriya Yoga consists of body discipline, mental control, and meditation on Om. Another Yoga Sutra reads, Liberation can be attained by that pranayama which is accompanied by disjoining the cause of inspiration and expiration. Surely, these Yoga Sutras refer to Kriya Yoga. But can we practice Kriya by reading these? No. Cryptic, concise. Similarly, Bible says, If thine hand offend thee, cut it off. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it off. There is a deep pranayama principle behind this. But how many people understand the true meaning? No, Swami Anandamayiji once said, To understand a scripture fully, one has to be realized. Now, saints who have attained God realization, such as Paramahamsa Yogananda, Yukteswarji, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, and the like, they understand the hidden meaning contained in the scriptures and they can explain. They attune themselves with Krishna, Patanjali, Chaitanya, Jesus Christ, and can absorb the deeper meaning behind their words and help us to understand and put them in practice. Hence, there is a need for a guru in one's life. To appreciate further the need for a guru, let us understand the meaning and definition of guru. Definition 1. In Sanskrit, guru means guru, darkness dispeller. Our souls are groping in the darkness of delusion. So our souls need the light of wisdom. Hence, we need a guru who would dispel our darkness of ignorance. Yet another definition. Guruji explained it in a beautiful way. The guru is a speaking voice of silent God. How true it is. Now, we have faith in God. We have faith that God wants us to attain salvation. But we cannot understand God's message. For most part, he is silent. We can't commune with him to understand his design for our lives, his principles we have to follow. We can't understand him. But once the guru-disciple relationship is established, the guru becomes the speaking voice of silent God. Guru is not silent. He is explaining the spiritual principles. So that's how he is the spokesperson for God, and we need that. And in this context, we followers of Paramahansa Yogananda are really, really fortunate. We are so much of written information from Paramahansa ji. The SRF YSS lessons, the books, his talks, his poems, his cosmic chants, all these things help us. They all have come to him from God. So God's message is conveyed to us through his words. So we are fortunate. We have so much of information, and his guidance is total for the harmonious development of body, mind, and soul. We don't need anything more or anything else for our daily happy living, as well as the ultimate salvation. So he is really the spokesperson of God, giving all that we need in this life, in our sadhana. There is yet another definition. Guru is the awakener. Paramahansa ji gave this definition. The guru is the awakened God, awakening the sleeping God in the disciple. Through sympathy and deep vision, a true guru sees the Lord suffering in the physically, mentally, and spiritually poor. And that is why he feels it is his duty to assist them. He tries to feed the hungry God in the destitute, to stir the sleeping God in the ignorant, to love the unconscious God in the enemy, and to awaken the half-sleep God in the yearning devotee. And by a gentle touch of love, he instantaneously arouses the almost awakened God in the advanced seeker. The guru, among all men, the best of givers, like God himself, his generosity knows no boundaries. No, he awakens that sleeping God in a sincere devotee. Don't we need that awakening? Don't you need someone who can awaken? Hence the need for a guru in our lives. Recall the story given in lesson number 3. The lion who became a sheep. When one lion forgot its true nature and moving and bleating like a sheep, another lion, which knows its true nature, helped it to regain its true nature. That is what Guru does. He helps us to regain. Read that story given in lesson number 3. Fourth definition. Adi Shankaracharya described the Guru in this way. There is no known comparison in the three worlds for a true guru. If the philosopher's stone be assumed as truly such, it can only turn iron into gold, not into another philosopher's stone. The venerated teacher, on the other hand, creates equality with himself in the disciple who takes refuge at his feet. The guru is therefore peerless, nay, transcendental. Now, philosopher's stone, if it touches some iron piece, this becomes gold. But this philosopher's stone cannot turn it into another philosopher's stone. It can only turn into gold. But guru is different. He is God realized. And by gentle touch, He can turn you and me as realized souls. He can produce that equality, means that realization in us. Don't we need to become one with God? Who can do that? Guru. Hence the need for a true guru. Here we are. Under the care and guidance of a true guru, Sadguru, of a world teacher, Jagadguru, a prema avatar, an incarnation of love, that is Param Yogananda Ji. Blessed indeed we are. The very definition and description of guru stirs in us a noble desire to seek the guidance and company of such a divine guide. And here we have fortunate. In present age, the connotation of the word guru changed. Today, we have many gurus. Football guru, science guru, asana guru, management guru, investment guru. It is all right to use such words as long as we know their roles. That is why often we use a sadguru for a spiritual guide, sadguru or a true guru. Because we don't have football Sadguru, investment Sadguru, so far. So that's why often we use a true guru, a Sadguru. Now, on guru-disciple relationship, even avatars and great ones had their gurus. Krishna, Ram, Adi Shankaracharya, Kabir, they all had gurus. Swami Vivekananda's guru was Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's guru was Totapuri. Paramahamsa Yogananda's guru, Yukteswarji. In turn, Yukteswarji's guru, Lahir Mahasaya. Krishna's guru, Sandipani, sage. Ram had guru in Vasishta. I mean, that is spiritual law. One goes to God through guru. That's spiritual law. Initially, we don't understand the role of a guru in one's life and the full import of guru-disciple relationship. As we continue with guru-given sadhana, slowly but surely, we understand this divine principle over the years and even incarnations, if need be. We go on deepening our understanding. I can recall my own initial feelings rather than struggles, you know? When I used to hear and read how much devotion Dayama, Mrinalnima, Swami Anandamoy had towards Guru, I felt unnerved. Now, lamenting that I don't have such reverence which they have. Whereas as a beginner, I need more devotion towards Guruji. I need more love and gratitude towards Guruji, but I don't have as much as they have. It was very disturbing. But later, when I read these following words of Mrinalini Mataji, I felt comforted. She said so beautifully, when the disciple has passed through what he must as a disciple, the fires, the tests of purification, and has been drawn to that point where he is ready to be introduced to God, he realizes ultimately and fully what he may even have felt in his heart, that the Guru was none other than God. That is the supreme realization of the guru-disciple relationship. That means the understanding of guru-disciple relationship goes on deepening with our spiritual practices. It takes time, it takes sadhana to develop devotion, faith, and understanding. So definitely, today I have a better understanding and better devotion towards Guruji than what I had some 15, 20 years back. We go on developing that. We go on developing. It's not that at once we realize the full import of guru-disciple relationship and the importance of guru in one's life. Not only in spiritual life, in overall, in one's life, he has a role to play. We understand as we move on. Next, there is a question. Can a human being be a Sadguru, a true Guru? Devotees have this doubt. How can we accept a human being as a Guru when a Guru is expected to have such lofty qualities? How? For instance, it must have been very difficult for some people to accept Lahiri Mahasaya, a householder like themselves, as a guru. But it is out of tremendous compassion of God and gurus that gurus take human forms to help us. Guru, although realized there is no need for him to come to this earth to play the role of a human being, but they take human body in order to help you and me. While in human body, the guru has to go through all the limitations of the human body because it decays. It is subjected to many challenges. Challenges coming from people around. Social challenges, organizational challenges. All these issues one faces and he becomes victorious. How to conquer all these challenges and sets an example. And it's easy to see, I too can, because he did, a human being like me, he could do that, I can also do. I mean, it's to set an example, they live the life of a human being. And also, a human being is more approachable than unknown and unseen entity. A guru in the form of a human being, more approachable. So that is the compassion of God to make this arrangement possible. So you and I have someone to look up to, some physical form. Is it not necessary for me to be in the physical presence of a guru to receive his blessings and guidance? No, not needed. Again, Mrinalini Mataji's words, I would like to quote. The guru is omnipresent. His help, his guidance, and his teachings prevail not only for the brief years he dwells on earth, but forever. How often, Guruji said, many devotees have come during my lifetime. I recognize them from the life's past. And many more are yet to come. I know them. They will come after I have left this body. No, she continues, the Guru's help to sincere followers does not cease when he leaves his body. If it did, he would not be a true Guru. As God is omnipresent, so the Guru is omnipresent. Paramsuji said, remember always, when I leave the body, I will no longer be able to talk to you with this voice. But I know. But I will know every thought you think and every action you perform. In a lighter vein, that's the difficulty. He knows everything I think, everything I perform. No, even when Guruji was in a physical body, he advised people around him not to depend on his physical personality, but to strive to deepen their attunement in mind and consciousness. Because through consciousness, he guides. And we have many examples. For instance, Gyanamataji, one of Guruji's early disciples. When Guruji would enter the hall, she would leave. Other disciples would be thrilled to have Guruji in physical form there, physical presence. They were thrilled to have his darshan. But she would leave. And when asked why you are leaving when Guruji himself is present here, she said, I don't need his physical presence. He is always with me. That apart, I don't want to impose myself on him. Being a senior, he is compelled to greet me, and I don't want to impose. She would leave because she doesn't need the physical presence. That is her attunement. Now, I heard that one nun had a duty to replace flowers near Guruji's body in forest land. Now, Guruji's body is still there in a crypt. We have two flower vases where fresh flowers are kept. That's her duty to replace them. She said that it is only when she goes there, she realized that Guruji is no more physically present. His body is not there. Otherwise, when she is in the ashram, Guruji is around her. Guruji is present. Only when she goes there, it reminds her. I mean, that is attunement. Guruji is omnipresent all the time. I have another incident. Once I was helping a devotee to purchase a photograph of Guruji. We have one picture of Guruji. I don't know if you can see this. Known as last smile. Because this picture was taken just an hour before he left his body and entered Mahasamadhi. I told him last smile picture. He was annoyed. Said, why are you saying last smile? Guruji is still smiling at me. He is smiling through his monks. He is smiling through the trees in the ashram. He is smiling through events. He is there all the time. He is eternally smiling. There is nothing like last smile. He is smiling. I mean, I was really thrilled to hear that. Isn't it true? He's not eternally smiling. Now I can feel that. Guruji is smiling through devotees. Guruji is smiling through beautiful trees in the ashram. Guruji is smiling at me through events, pleasant or painful. Even in events, I can see, yes, Guruji, you. He's smiling at me through events. Eternal smile. So he is present. We can feel that. It's not just theory. We can feel, yes, Guruji is omnipresent. Right now, right here, he is here. That is possible. Any case, if a physical body is required, physical presence is essential, how many would be benefited by divine incarnation? Only a few hundred, a few thousands maybe around him. And then after he leaves his body, look for someone else? No, that's not the divine principle. Eternal connection. Guruji promised, when I have left this body, I will stoop down from heaven to make those that will be in tune realize the love of my Father. To those who think me near, I will be near. Mrinalini Mataji said that thousands met Paramahansa Yogananji when he was in physical body, but not all of them could realize his true nature and spiritual stature and follow his teachings. She added that among our generation, so many of us are benefited much more by being in tune with him, although we haven't seen his physical form. So that is what is needed, attunement. Physical body is not necessary. Next, obedience to the Guru. Guruji gave a simple counsel. Pray always to please God and Guru in every way. Pray always to please God and Guru in every way. How do we please Guruji? By listening to him, we please him. And what is meant by listening to him? Here is a story. Millenniums ago, before the dawn of civilization, one saint found a way to make fire. They had two stones, rub against each other, and put some dry leaves. There came fire. And this fire, you could see utility of this fire for cooking, for lighting, etc. So he was happy, wanted to share this information with others. He went to one community, I mean, this was millenniums ago, who were not aware of fire. He explained, this is how we can make fire, and this is what you can make use of fire. And they were thrilled. They have seen it. They took the stones and they kept their stones. They started worshipping the stones. And they said how great that saint was. He gave these stones. He found how to make fire. They made a temple later, put a statue of this saint, started worshipping the stones and the statue of that. In the process, they forgot about the fire and how to make it. The saint went to another community. There also he taught them how to make fire. But those people immediately grabbed the stones, started making use of fire, making use of fire for lighting, cooking, etc. Day after day after day, month after month, they are doing that. But in the process, they completely forgot about the saint who helped them. Now tell me, with whom the saint is more happy? The community which is praising him, worshipping him, but forgot to make use of fire? Or the community which forgot all about him, but they are still making use of the fire? Obviously, the second category. He doesn't want praise. He wants people to be benefited. That is what is meant by pleasing Guruji. And you question yourself. Are we the first category and the second category? No, some devotees are there who keep saying that Paramahansa Yogananji was a great saint. This book, autobiography, wonderful. And they keep giving autography to many people. And on his birthday, they make special food in honor of him. They do all these things, but they don't meditate. That is being in the first group, praising Guru, but not practicing. Paramahansaji said, when I am gone, the teachings will be the Guru. So listen to the Guru. Study the teachings, follow them. That's listening. And in another place, Guruji said, inherent in the Yoga Satsanga Society of India teachings and spiritual techniques are the help and blessings of the Yoga Gurus. Devotees who conduct their lives according to the YSS principles will be blessed with the hidden and open direction of the YSS Gurus. So inherent in YSS techniques of meditation are the blessings of Guru. That means when we are practicing meditation as taught by our Gurus, we are receiving the blessings. Because practice, a technique, becomes a channel through which blessings flow. It's like this. Close your palms and say, please give me, how much you can take with closed palms. Instead, open your palms. You don't have to ask, give me, you will receive. You will receive. With the regular practice of the scientific techniques of meditation and living principles taught by Guruji, we are opening our hearts, we are opening our minds to the full inflow of His wisdom, of His love, of His guidance. That's why we receive His blessings, by practicing, by practicing. So practice, practice is important. Next, Guru Seva. The importance of Guru Seva, I would like to point out by reading something from Bhagavad Gita. This fourth chapter, 13th sloka, the explanation as given by Guruji in God Talks to Arjuna. When a devotee's prayers touch the Supreme Being, He sends him a Guru through whose agency He draws the seeker to Himself. It is God who speaks through the Guru's voice and guides the devotee through his spiritual perceptions. There are three ways of tuning in with the Guru. One, by self-surrender. Two, by intelligent questions. Three, by service. Eagerly serving the Guru, especially by dedication to exemplifying and promoting his ideas and principles, the disciple's intuition develops. He automatically receives the wisdom vibrations of his Guru. We receive the vibrations of Guru when we are serving Guru. How do we serve him now? He doesn't have a body to serve. Guruji said to his disciples, when I am no longer in the body, this organization will be my body. As you have helped me and served this form while I am here, so serve this organization. Serve his organization. How do you serve his organization? Here is an analogy. How do you take medicine? By drinking, by gulping, by sucking, or by injecting, or by rubbing? All these forms are different forms of taking medicine. Similarly, we have different forms of serving Guru, his organization. By regularly meditating, sitting in our own homes, regularly meditating, we are serving Guru, we are serving his organization. By participating in worldwide prayer circle, as instructed by Guruji, we are serving his organization. By attending group meditations, we are serving Guruji. And helping Dhyana Kendras, Dhyana Mandalis, ashrams of Guruji, we are helping Guruji. Setting an example by living his principles, we are helping Guruji. And by monetary donations, when we give donations, his organization is lifted. We are helping the organization by giving monetary donations. All these are different forms of Guru Seva. So we have ample opportunities to follow Guruji's teachings and serve him. Next, Guru's help. Guru's help comes us in so many ways. Sometimes we are aware, sometimes we may not be aware. You know, one SRF devotee from America visited India on a pilgrimage. He went to Anandamayi Ma's ashram. Anandamayi Ma was Nirmala Devi, whom Guruji met in 1936. He visited her ashram, stayed there for a few days. On the last day, he had a darshan of Anandamayi Ma. At that time, he asked for her blessings for his journey back to home in America. As he was asking for blessings, Anandamayi Ma started laughing. Then he was surprised. Then he asked, "Why are you laughing, Ma? I am seeking your blessings." Then she replied, "You don't need my blessing. Your guru is with you all the time. You don't need anything more to add to that. Your guru is with you all the time. You don't need my blessing." But oftentimes we don't realize that. Guruji is with us all the time, blessing, helping. But another saint, a realized soul, could see that. Now, once Swami Bimalananji, who was a direct disciple of Guruji, went to a park. There was a gadget. It has a springboard. With a hammer, he has to hit that springboard in a way that on bounce, the hammer should touch the ceiling of that gadget. He went and tried once, twice. He kept on trying, but it never bounced high enough to touch the roof. Guruji was with him. He said, concentrate. Then with all his concentration, he tried. Again and again, he was not making it. Then Bimalananji next, he said, "Om Guru," tuck, touched. When he brought Guruji into his activity, when he made Guruji a partner in his activity, he could make it. Same thing with us. Let's bring in Guruji into our lives. Make me a partner. I am not alone. It's with Guruji I do. It makes a lot. When autobiography of a yogi was translated into German language, Swami Anandamayi found some mistakes. Others too. For instance, the translator used the word Christian-like for Christ-like. There's a lot of difference. Christ-like life of Lahiri Mahasaya. He translated as Christian-like life. Christ means one who has Christ consciousness, Kutas Chaitanya, not just a Christian. So it's a major mistake. Now there are other mistakes too. You know, then Guruji said, "Why do you criticize the German translation of my work? Never mind. Even with its mistakes, it will lead many people to God." Never mind. Even with its mistakes, it will lead to many people to God. A mistake here, a mistake there is not going to make things different for Guruji. He can work. Same thing in you and in me. A mistake in my life, here and there, it's okay. Guruji will take care of it. He is that compassionate, our mistakes. And here's a story. The touch of a master. John Ruskin, the distinguished writer, philosopher, social thinker, philanthropist, once gave a beautiful lace-edged handkerchief to a girl. It was so beautiful. She was thrilled. Its lace edged beautiful kerchief, and it came from John Ruskin. She was thrilled. She was keeping it on her table and doing some work. By mistake, she spilled ink on that, and there was a big blot of ink on the kerchief, spoiling it. She started crying. Later, John Ruskin came there again, and he asked her, "Why are you crying? You gave such a beautiful handkerchief, I spoiled it." Then John Ruskin looked at it. He was also a painter. He took that kerchief and with a brush, put a few strokes here and there. And that ugly blot bloomed into a beautiful flower. It's no more a blot, it's a beautiful flower. And that handkerchief has become even more beautiful without that blot earlier. It's much more beautiful than what it was. Touch of a master. That's what a true guru can do to you and to me. I may have made many mistakes, knowingly or unknowingly, but Guruji can turn that mistakes into something useful. I have seen this personally in my life many times. I do commit mistakes by knowingly and unknowingly, but somehow, although I'm feeling bad about it, I should not have done that, but that even goes to a point where I'm benefited. Many times I found that. If we surrender, he can do that. Any blot in our life can bloom into a beautiful flower by his touch. And I can even say that if I look at my life, it can be treated as a story of tragic flaws and saving graces. Yeah, tragic flaws, so many flaws in me, flaws on my part, but saving graces from him, Guruji. So anything can be converted into something beautiful. Guruji is there. We have to allow him to work. Just one more story on surrender to Guru and the importance and the need for a Guru in one's life, this demonstrates. Once a cow went to forest for grazing. It was grazing. Suddenly it heard some noise and looked back. Then one tiger was approaching it. Sensing the danger, cow started running. It ran. The tiger chased. The cow came to a pond. It thought that it could jump into the pond and cross the pond to safety. So it jumped into the pond to escape from the tiger. But as soon as walked a few steps in the pond, it realized that the pond is too shallow and full of mud. It's full of mud. So its feet were stuck in the mud. It couldn't move. It got stuck. The tiger which was chasing ran, and also it also jumped into the pond, but it also got stuck with all its 4 feet firmly in the mud. But fortunately, there was some space difference. There was gap between the two. Tiger here, cow there. The tiger looked at the cow and said, "Ha, ha, ha, ha. Now I'm enjoying with the thought of crushing your bones between the teeth and drink the flesh, drink your blood." The cow looked at the tiger and said, "Tiger, please tell me, do you have a master? The tiger roared, what do you mean? I am the master of myself. I am the architect of myself. I am the master of this jungle. Who can be my master? I am the master. I have no other masters. The tiger replied, and cow replied, that's the problem with you, tiger. You have no masters. But I have a master. When I don't get home by sunset, my master will come searching for me and release me from this mud, whereas you will be left behind. And sure enough, after sunset, the owner of the house, owner of the cow, waited. When he didn't return home, he came searching, found this cow stuck in the mud and helped it to come out of the mud and took home, leaving the tiger behind, stuck in the mud. Here is the analogy. The mud represents the delusion, where we are all stuck. We are all stuck without any exception in the mud of delusion. The tiger represents the ego, which thinks that I am the master of myself. I am the architect of my life. I am the one. It is stuck. Whereas cow represents surrendered soul. It surrendered. I have a master. Master will save me. And the owner of the cow represents guru. He is the guru. He comes to the rescue of the devotee and saves from the mud of delusion, releases. Don't we need a guru in our lives? When we are all stuck in this mud of delusion, he only can take us out of this delusion. So that is the importance and need of a true guru in one's life. Now, let us meditate for a little while and pray for others and world peace. Let us now perform healing technique as taught by Paramahansa Yogananda ji. Heavenly Father, Thou art omnipresent, Thou art in all Thy children. Manifest Thy healing presence in their bodies. Heavenly Father, Thou art omnipresent, Thou art in all Thy children. Manifest Thy healing presence in their minds. Heavenly Father, Thou art omnipresent, Thou art in all Thy children. Manifest Thy healing presence in their souls. Let us chant Om for world peace and prosperity and brotherhood. Let us close this satsang with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Bhagavan Krishna, Jesus Christ, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashay, Swami Sri Yukteswarji, Beloved Gurudev, Paramahamsa Yogananda ji, saints of all religions, we bow to you all. Divine Beloved, we thank thee for all thy blessings. Take charge of our lives and lead us safely back to our cosmic home of ever new joy. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Namo Namaste Stu Sahasra Krutva Punasya Bhuyopi. Namo Namaste Nama Purastadata. prashtataste namostu te sarvada eva sarva.
Some information. Traditionally, devotees would like to make monetary donations to Guru and Guru Parampara on the occasion of the sacred Guru Purnima. But some of our devotees are asking, how can we do that now? The Dhyana Kendras, Dhyana Mandalis, meditation centers, ashrams are closed because of the pandemic. You can donate through online. SRF devotees may visit SRF website, and VSS devotees may visit VSS website to donate. It is also possible to send our donations by check, because the courier services and postal services have resumed. The information about how to donate through websites will be flashed on the screen soon. May God bless all of us. Let's keep our Guru and Paramgurus in our hearts, in our thoughts, during this season, to reap the maximum benefits. Jai Guru, Jai Guru, Jai Guru.